Friday night hangout, hanging out, having a brew, shooting the breeze with the panel tonight. Let's do a quick round of intros here from the planet of Padua. We got Luke Skywalker with us. Jocelyn, how's it going, bud?
Greetings. That's more than Luke says in the movie.
Yeah, it's true, but apparently the new one just starts off at that last scene, the new movie, the one that they're starting filming.
I can't tell you anything about it.
From Dartmouth, we got Dan with us. How's it going, Dan?
Hello, ladies.
Oh, my.
Oh, okay. So moving on to Newfoundland, we got Mike with us. Mike, how's she going, Mike?
Good for living in a mustard-free province, mustard pickle-free province.
Oh, we'll get into the mustard.
Is there a hashtag for that?
I'm not on Twitter. I don't know.
Free the mustard. Free the pickles.
Okay, we're going to have to come up with them by the end of this episode.
All right. There's no more reason to visit now.
And, of course, I'm here in Halifax, Bedford, to be more specific, and we're just getting settled in. Of course, if you're watching live, please comment on the YouTube live chat or on Twitter, the FN Hangout hashtag. Of course, if you're listening via podcast, hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. Really appreciate it. Let's start off the show the way that we normally do, which is what we are drinking tonight. Let's start off with Mike. What are you drinking tonight, Mike?
I've got an apple cider from Yellow Belly Brewery, Crookedest Inn. Never much into apple ciders until probably about a month ago. I've had a couple of theirs now. They had a cranberry apple one and this just regular apple. It's 6.9%. It's 500 ml bottle. It's really nice. Nice.
Nice.
Nice. That's great. Jocelyn, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking this little monster here. It's the Guten Carolus Cuvée Van de Kaiser. It's a strong Belgian dark ale from Belgium. And 11% ABV. Ouch.
Boy.
Beautiful, though.
Nice, nice. And Dan, what are you drinking tonight, sir?
Well, I'm going to continue the trend with the boxing rock. I think I've been drinking a lot of that lately.
And Dan froze
and
up.
And we lost Dan.
Oh, you lost me?
Yeah. Okay, start over again. Yeah, start over.
Okay. I've got the next chapter from Boxing Rock. So it's a rye India Pale Ale. And it comes in at 6.3%. It's a nice, rich IPA. I'm quite enjoying it.
All right. Excellent, Dan.
Sounds good.
And I am drinking a new release from our friends over at North Bruin. This is their Kettle Soured Smash Beer, Sour Sagan Hat, which is a 4% beer, which is unusual that I would drink something so light on a Friday night hangout. But as Justin ascertained, I've been drinking for a little while now, so it doesn't really matter.
How is it?
Actually, you know what? For a sour beer, you know, Justin, we played around with the sours this year a little bit, and you made me experiment with a few things here. This is the Pilsner Malt, Sriracha Ace Hops, and Lactobacillus and Yeast.
Okay.
It's sour. It's a nice sour. It's you know, if you get one of those sour candies. Chewy candies there. That's pretty much the first thing that I think of when I drink it. But it's nice and refreshing. Probably not as easy drinking as I thought it would be, but it's not bad. It's sour. Like it's an acquired taste for sure. So it's definitely an interesting brew.
I'll tell you, sour beers are my discovery of the last 12 months, and there's so much to discover in sour beers. And, you know, I think my palate's just getting used to it, and I'm finding an appreciation for it more and more. I think it's a really cool trend.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, though, the sours that we've tried here and there have been better than North, but North has done a really good attempt on this one, though.
Okay, cool.
As I've been working on this one here.
Yeah. Seems like sours are really picking up steam the last 6-8 months or a year or so.
Oh, they are, and you know, there's such an once you get your head around the fact, all right, it's a beer and it's sour tasting. You know, it's no different than tasting a very lightly sweetened lemonade. You know, in that sense, you know, the sourness is not jarring, and it's really refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, like for summer, like is it summer drinking or something? You just want to sip. You want to work on for a little bit, and you don't want to get buzzed. You just want to have something to sip on. Sours is not a bad one here. I gave one. Jocelyn, which one? What was the one there? The Thomas Kadao Weizenbier or the
Berliner Weiss.
Berliner Weiss.
Yeah.
I gave that one to a coworker there because you know, we finished off a project there, and that was the one that she was talking about afterwards being the best one of the bunch. I gave her a few beers, and that was a nice one that she enjoyed that one greatly. So anyway, I'll give my other opinions on the second round of this. We lost Dan, unfortunately. He's having some internet issues tonight, but we can start with the first story, which is let's talk about the Blue Nose. Let's talk about that.
Oh my!
Freaking ship again. What can I say, guys? What can I say? It sounds like they spent money on yet another consultant to say basically what most people were saying, that the rudder is too heavy, should be wood or fiberglass or composite instead of this behemoth steel that you can barely steer. So going to spend another $1 million fixing it. So 70% over budget for this Blue Nose 2, guys.
That's an amazing price to fix a rudder, $1 million.
What's even more amazing is that, you know, I live in Montreal now, but back when the Blue Nose was in full-fledged restoration mode, I was in Nova Scotia, and I really remember all the controversy around the restoration and all that. And the rudder was a central piece of that. And people said right then and there that a steel rudder would not work. And there you go. They were proven right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they have to spend $30,000 on consultants from Rhode Island to tell them that, yes, we need something lighter. Because now the problem now is with the steel rudder, it's so heavy and the force on it, it's going to torque the rest of the boat so that it's going to shorten its lifespan. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sure this will be a case study in a few years for, you know, what not to do on a project management.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about the Blue Nose 2 on several Friday night hangouts of a few years back.
Oh, well, that's just it. We've been talking about this damn boat for like 2 years or 3 years now.
Yeah, 3 years.
Yep. No further ahead. Hey, if it floats, Nova Scotia, don't bet on it.
But, you know, what's unfortunate about this is that it is an absolute symbol of Nova Scotia. It's a symbol of Canada. It's on our freaking dime, for crying out loud, and we can't get it right. That's pretty horrible.
And Grease Stain on the live chat says here, they could have just listened to the local shipbuilders and gone to Lloyd's of London, and it was cost next to nothing and worked, instead of going for the American insurers or safety standard guys that just, you know, came up with this problem. He also goes on and says, none of this is new news, just a fuck-up from start to finish. Indeed, and I didn't want to censor that because it was before 10 o'clock local time, but hey, Restain sums it up nicely. Dan, you got anything with the Blue Nose you want to add in?
Sorry, I cut out for most of that, so I unfortunately missed most of the conversation. Like what you said at the end there, though, Jocelyn, is that it is a rich part of our history. We are noted for it. We have a friggin' a Canada Minute associated with it in those videos on TV. Wow. So, I mean, if we do care about our heritage, then this is something that is worth promoting and keep going.
Agreed.
Yep. All right, so with that, let's move on to the next topic here, which is another local story. Freedom 45 for the Trailer Park Boys. They got almost just over $800,000 for their latest TV series, Trailer Park Boys Europe, which means they might be getting a nice free trip to Europe there with this money. So what I find interesting about this story was that, you know, the Nova Scotia Film Credit, they slashed it, and then they kind of replaced it with something inferior, and we found out not too long ago that they haven't really been doling out any money, so there hasn't really been any film productions in the last year. So Trailer Park Boys gets like the biggest grant of them all, and I think there's two other productions that got some money. Other than that, the fund, the replacement fund, hasn't been doling out any money to any film productions, so I find this very curious, if you ask me. What do you guys think?
Jeez. You really want my opinion on the Trailer Park Boys?
Yes.
They suck.
Oh, like, what's your Twitter address, just to make sure we can direct the comments?
Oh, listen. They do suck. I can't believe that it is that popular. I just can't believe it. I'm not commenting on what the Nova Scotia government is giving them. I think if it makes sense from a financial standpoint, because the show's popular, fine. I just can't believe the show's popular. That's all.
I think its popularity stems from its universality. Like, it's not just a corner of Nova Scotia that it represents. It can represent any sort of area of the world, not just Canada alone. Like, there's places in the U.S. that they think, well, geez, these guys really should be, like, backwards of Texas or Alabama or whatever. So I think that ultimately is its universal appeal.
I just put my Twitter address there if anybody wants to direct rude comments or, you know, really violent reactions. Feel free.
I've never watched more than 5 minutes at a time of the show. I just don't get it.
That's more than I've done, Mike.
Yeah, it is popular, and I think that the movie productions in any province, like, people get upset sometimes when you hear the government will give a couple $100,000 to a movie set or whatever, but it brings in a lot of jobs and a lot of spin-off, even, from a movie or a TV show.
Yeah, I agree with that part. Like I said, I agree with that part. If the thing is popular and it's making money and it's creating jobs locally, there's no reason not to, you know, help it be viable and stay in the province and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. That's not my issue with the show, clearly.
No.
Grease Stain on the live chat says, anyone that grew up in poverty knew the Trailer Park Boys growing up. And growing up in a depressed area in New Brunswick, I identified with the show because I thought they were just copying people from down the street. But it's not that it's a good thing, just a thing. Better to laugh than to cry. Grease Stain also adds here. So it's true. You got to laugh with it. But it's just kind of funny that this new fund, how they're doling out the reduced amount of money.
Well, it could have been like they did the assessment of the amount of income the production would bring into the area, and that's kind of what had happened. They just didn't happen to report on that aspect of the story. Because that could be a big portion of it.
Well, it depends if they're going to bring in another big star like Snoop Dogg for their next season like they did this past summer.
Wait a second. We make fun of that, but when he showed up to the basketball game, the All-Star game in Toronto, CBC was all a titter about getting a chance to see Snoop Lion. So
no, he's back to Snoop Dogg, though.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my bad. Sorry, my Comptonese is out of step. But the point being is, like, we'll take whatever we can get as our poor little Canada.
How about Snoop Rat?
No, you can't go from dog to lying down a rat.
Look at it. Are we going to use like the whole Chinese calendar, lunar calendar? Because you can like, Snoop Rabbit and Snoop Lobster. I don't know if Lobster is another one.
Lobster would be a good one. All right, Peter. Let's do the next topic, everybody. If you are watching live, you can use the Twitter hashtag FNHangout or on the YouTube live chat like Greasestain is doing, and we can read your comments here live. This is a little different story here, also local, which is kind of interesting. I've kind of been kind of following something like this for the last little while, but for those you may not know, cougars were last seen in this neck of the woods, or specifically New Brunswick and Maine, in the 1930s. They say they've been extinct, but Parks Canada, they've been putting up these little posts, basically sticky tape posts, and they've been collecting fur that whatever walks by and scratches on the post. And they've deployed these sticks in Fundy National Park up in New Brunswick, and they've been deploying them in Kijimukujik here in Nova Scotia. And the article here was saying that they found some hairs that may indicate that possibly a cougar is in the park. Now, previously, I know that I was doing some stuff at Fundy National Park a number of years ago, and talking to some of the staff there, and they didn't want to be official, but they say, yeah, it was cougar. Mm. So, of course, obviously, the news to say that there's cougars in eastern Canada probably get a whole bunch of people wanting to put them on their mantle. You know, probably want to keep it quiet there, but, you know, it'd be kind of cool that there's some population of eastern cougar still in the area. Not a huge population.
I think they're looking in the wrong place, though. They've got to go to Argyle Street.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on. Somebody had to make that joke.
I was going to say, to fall back upon our previous story with the Trailer Park Boys, I think we got ourselves another Sam Squanch situation.
What?
Sam Squanch.
Just Sam Squanch. Champ scratch.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's a lot of hopeful thinking, and even if the cougar did the elusive hinterland cougar return to Nova Scotia, what would that mean to Parks Canada for that?
It would mean a little more work for them, because now they're going to have to get all these. What?
Yep.
Was I cutting out?
Am I cutting out? I might be cutting out myself.
I think everything froze in.
No.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
No, it's fine. It's good.
No, I was going to say, it's like, you know, and even Greasestain was saying here that his father and uncle reported a cougar in the Mabou area, Western Cape Breton, in the mid-90s.
Really?
They were pretty angry because DNR told them it was a dog, but not to shoot it. Basically, the whole point of what I'm trying to get at is that they don't want to tell anybody that their cougar is in the area. They don't want this extra attention, extra people running through the woods, setting up traps and all that stuff for what? Could be a bobcat, could be a dog, could be a wolf.
It's could be a cougar.
Did Greasestain say they came from the planet of Naboo from the first Star Wars?
Naboo.
Isn't that where Jar Jar Binks is from?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we needed to go there.
Okay, can you hunt down Jar Jar Binks? Leave the cougars alone and just
seriously go hunt him down. No, I think he died in the explosion.
Yes.
So are we talking about the cougars of Mabou?
No, we were talking about Jar Jar.
Is that? Hey, Stu on the live chat says here.
See, I'm
Jar Jar Mabou.
Yeah.
I'm back to
Josh
this one.
Josh is using the Force. So if you watch The Force Awakens, it wasn't Mark Hamill, it was Jocelyn at the top of the hill meditating.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, man.
He was on that meditating and looked at pensively at Rey with the lightsaber. Shit, why are you here? So that was basically.
But the eyes were more yearning than that.
I can't do yearning.
No,
you got to yearn it.
Stu on the live chat says here, I know of 6 sightings from people I can really trust all in the Wentworth area. One person has pictures, which I'm trying to get a copy. There was a trail cam camera a few years ago also of cougar in the area. Grease Stain says here, I have a friend who worked for Parks Canada as well. Have seen Parks Canada pics of cougars in Nova Scotia. LOL. At
different type, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, get our sillies out, guys. Get our sillies out. Come on, get them out. Get them out. Get them
out. Most of the picks are near the New Brunswick borderline. Grease Stain was saying here. So oh, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, that's there's so many more jokes there.
But the Wanlin and Amherst is closed now, so
there you go. You had to go there.
Okay, all right, everybody. Man, easy. it's Friday.
Watch your spacing. Swamp rats.
Let's do a quick round of what we're drinking tonight, because obviously it's all good stuff. I'm gonna start. Latest release from North Bruin, Sour Sagan Hat, which really means has to say sour in German. I guess so.
Okay.
This is a 4% beer, sour, Pilsner malt, Sorachi Ace hops, lactobacillus, and yeast. Very sour.
Do you taste the sriracha?
It's not sriracha.
No, not sriracha. Is the
Sorachi Ace.
I'm not familiar with sriracha. All I hear is sriracha.
No, it's a hop. It's a hop varietal called Sorachi Ace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorachi.
Trademark.
Yeah. So if you like those sour gummy bears, this is as close as you're gonna get. Not as sweet, but you get more on the sour. You know what? I'm drinking it, and it's still just as good. I mean,
yeah.
I can just imagine people with the, like those sour rings. They put them in the pouch and lick it, and their face can turn.
I'm all in with the sour beers.
Yeah,
all good.
All right, Mike, what are you drinking?
I had a Crooked Ascend apple cider from Yellow Belly. I got a Garrison's Spruce here in the fridge, so I got to go grab there now.
All right, excellent. And Jocelyn, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking this amazing strong dark Belgian ale from Belgium called the Guten Carolus Cuvée Van de Kuysen.
All right, so you said it was 11% beer. Describe a little bit more what kind of beer this is.
Okay, so it's a really dark. See, you'll see it here in the glass. It's a really dark brown beer, and you get some tastes of like dates and raisins and really deep malty flavors. Very little bitterness, a little bit of residual sweetness. Beautifully balanced. If you've had the strong dark Belgian from North Brewing, because that's very common in Nova Scotia, that's a really good beer, and I think it's a beer that follows the example of this one. Obviously, this one has decades of history behind it. Actually, I think this one was first brewed in '99, but it's a brewery that has a lot of history. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really well done. But you know what? That strong dark Belgian from North Brewing, when you taste the barrel age, the Glenora barrel age version, that is a stellar beer.
Yeah.
Same kind of taste profile.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, and Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm not going to be as flowery or as in depth with mine, so I'm going to say Boxing Rock. Good. No, it's the Boxing Rock, the next chapter, Rye IPA, 6.5%. It's going down pretty good, as you can see, the very little that's left in the glass.
All right, excellent.
I like Rye IPAs.
This one here, I tried it last week. It was a little bit more rye. There was something there.
Didn't quite... pepperiness?
No, there was that other rye, that grainy taste of the rye that was just getting to me there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Dan, do you pick up some of that stuff, or you get that peppery taste from the rye, which normally I would enjoy?
I'm not getting much pepper off of it, I can say that. Grainy, though? I can't say that either.
Could have been my bottle.
So what, pretty hoppy, pretty bitter?
I say hoppy, yes. Not as much on the bitter side.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
If it was bitter, I'd really be liking it because my bag is the bitter beers.
Yeah, right on.
GC Storm 1 on the live chat saying here's he joined a couple beers from the South Shore Brew Tour that he went on last week.
Cool.
Hell Bay English Ale and Boxing Rock U889, a Russian Imperial Stout.
That's a good one.
And Stu on the live chat also says drinking the same as Dan, the Boxing Rock, so nice beer, Stu says.
Excellent.
And I ran into Stu at the gym today. I was checking out the new Fit for Less gym from Good Life there, and I was doing the tour, and Stu was benching 200 pounds. I'm like, need a spot? He's like, I got this.
I got it.
Like, Spot me, bro.
All right. Hey, actually, you know what? We're talking about beer. Let's move into the next topic, which is one of Dan's topics here. The Chicago's Field Museum is offering a tasting starting in March. They'll be able to sip on a Wari Ale, a single batch limited edition brew based on a recipe that the Wari people of southern Peru enjoyed more than 1,000 years ago, which is basically corn and pepper beer, which it looks kind of purple.
I don't know if I'd use the term enjoy. It might have been a situation of, you're about to go to war, let's get you all hammered before you go out there. Because by the size of the batch it looks like they were making, it's just about cramming it down your throats, at least in ancient times.
I think it'd be kind of cool to try that out. Corn and pepper beer.
Well, I mean,
it sounds like it could be good.
I think there's a trend to try to recreate some very old recipes. I talked last week on the Hangout about, I mean, it's not that old, but the recipe, the Molson recipe from 1908, and I know that Dogfish Head in Delaware has done several different brews, one of which I remember was based on recipe from ancient Egypt. And then there's one here. I'm going to just share my screen here. There's one in Quebec here. You can see it on screen here. And it's based on a Cervoise, which was the ancient beer of ancient France, I guess. And they based it on historical records that they found of trying to recreate the beer. And it's from 52 before Christ, 52 BC. So that's a long time ago. That's a couple thousand years ago. So it's quite interesting that there, you know, you see that trend going on. It's kind of cool.
Now, are they hanging their hat on just the fact that it's historical, or the fact that it actually is worth the taste?
What I've read about this one, the Alicia here, is that it's an interesting beer to try because you see where it came from. It's not necessarily on a par with what you'd find today. I think it's more for the historical, you know, coolness of it. Mm. I haven't tried it myself. I've seen it, but I've seen it in the stores. I've yet to buy it. It's actually not cheap.
It looks expensive. Yeah, it looks expensive. I wouldn't mind getting me some of that there, but. But I wonder if it's the same thing as... Now, I commented a little while ago, I think last year, when Pump House did their Stone
Ale,
where they took the hot rocks and they made the... Yeah. And I thought, personally, I thought it was a gimmick because the amount of money they were charging for the bottles and what you got at the end of it, I didn't think it was very good beer. And in fact, this year's edition, there's still... It's on the clearance rack of the NSLC. It ain't moving, so I don't know. I think people kind of agreed with me that it was not good last year. But this one here, the one that you showed there, Justin, looks a little bit more interesting because, you know.
Well, if you've, Jim, I know you have because you're a French dude like me, so I know you've read Asterix when you were a kid. So Cervoise. Cervoise is certainly something you know. That's what they drank back in the day, and this is a pure recreation of that kind of stuff. So, anyways, interesting. You remember the place I brought you this summer, Jim, where there was this incredible array of beer that you could buy. Paluso in Montreal, and they had it there. So I don't know. I think I might try to buy it, and maybe in a future hangout in the next few weeks, I might have it here to comment.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll try to do that.
Yeah,
I think it'd be interesting to try it.
Yeah. So again, for those of you who might be traveling to Montreal, Paluso in Montreal, north end of Montreal, I guess.
No, north not end? North end. No, no, it's no. It's in the southeast
Rosemont area?
No. Yeah, just kind of south of Rosemont. It's on, I forget the street it's on.
Yeah.
It's, Dépanneur Paluso, it's called.
Yeah.
It's the beer mecca.
Can't go wrong. Tell them Jim and Jocelyn sent you, and they'd be like,
who? Now, if you tell them Luke sent you,
it's a, oh, yeah, it's that a story guy. Altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy sues us.
Free beer for everyone. Just tell them the Force sent you.
Or Super Jedi Luke.
Super Jedi Luke doesn't move and just looks forlorn in the distance.
Just does the two-finger wave.
GC Storm 1 says here that the Sam Adams Utopias is another expensive beer. Yeah, that one's like $200 a bottle. So
oh, yeah, what? That's not insane. But that's not a recreation of anything historic, though. That's just, you know, something crazy.
I've seen
That they, like, literally captured the cum of Sam Adams and put him in a bottle? $200?
Well, there was a few bottles of it in Halifax at the Stubborn Goat because I've seen it through their glass vault.
Yeah, I remember seeing it there too.
Yeah, so
how could a beer cost $200?
How can a Sam Adams beer cost $200?
Yeah, if Sam Adams is barely worth drinking to begin with.
Just saying, yo. All right, another story here from Dan. We're getting to the fun stuff here now. 15 facts about Blockbuster Video. Now, in Canada, I know that Blockbuster is pretty much done for, but it's always nice to look at some of the things that Netflix was kind of interesting. My biggest thing of this list is the fact that they could have had Netflix.
Yep.
Netflix came to them and say, hey, want this? And they're like, that's dumb. Yeah. People still want DVDs.
And well, don't forget how Netflix started, though. They started as a DVD rental by mail.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were eating Blockbuster's lunch, too, at the time.
Crazy.
And, yeah. Yeah, and another company. Yeah, go, Dan, do you have an item on that list there?
But actually, and I told you before, the favorite one I have is that on Blockbuster's record, the last title that was rented from them was titled This Is the End, which is that movie from 2013. So
really?
I have picked a better movie than that.
That's fantastic.
Josh, were you a big Blockbuster user?
Oh, yeah. I used to, you know, a couple times a week I would rent movies for sure. And I kind of still miss the experience of going to the store and looking at the big wall of movies and, you know, oh, man, you can't get that one because, all the copies are gone. And it almost seems like it's so easy today that I find I watch fewer movies today than I used to back in the day.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I would make
Friday nights was the night for movies.
Right, exactly. I would make a point of going there and picking a movie, and usually picking one for the next day. I'd go the next day and rent something else. And now it's so easy. You find yourself. I don't know. You find yourself watching a couple of YouTube videos or playing, you know, a couple games of something and you know, watching something you PVR'd and you forget about movies.
Yeah.
Mike, how about yourself in Newfoundland? Was Blockbuster's big thing out there? Or?
Blockbuster was fairly big, but there was Jumbo Video was probably
equal. Yep, Jumbo Video. Yep.
And there was a Jumbo Video actually right on back of my house. So.
Okay.
And the Blockbuster was across the street in a four-lane road, so it was Jumbo for me. But, yeah, they were big here.
Now, Blockbuster was my video game rental. Back when I had the Sega Genesis, I rented the Mortal Kombat and learned about the combination to make the blood red. So that when me and my younger cousins were to play, and I was a university age, my younger teen cousins brought the console to play. I said, hey, check this out.
Wait a second.
Left, right. What?
What wasn't this? It was the Sega Genesis had the red, but I thought it was the Super Nintendo version that you had to do the code.
There was a version that came out red, and then they had to redo it.
Oh, I had the red version, man.
They took out the blood. They actually took out the blood. Yeah. The Easter egg was to turn on the blood.
Yeah, I had the real one then.
Well, no. What are you talking about? That was the whole world, my introduction of secret freaking codes to open up Mortal Kombat. And, of course, then I make the mistake of looking up the latest Mortal Kombat fatalities. Ooh. And I'm like, oh, my sweet Jesus.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, yes.
They are brutal.
They've added new characters like Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The alien from the movie Alien. And then what was the other one there? There was a third one there. Jason from Friday the 13th.
Oh, no.
It's so bad now. There's like a psychological portion of the horror where now they actually like show you how your life is in ruins and that you've caused your wife to go into severe debt and you just end up offing yourself. It's so incredibly disdain.
Yeah, look it up. Mortal Kombat X, we're 10. I think there's a new one that just came out too. Yeah. There's like a collection of...
Yikes. All right.
Grease stain.
Sorry.
No.
Amazing how far video has come. Like, I remember years ago, four or five of us would get together. You get your dad's Visa, and you go to the video store, and they had these big the disc ones. Like, they were, like, bigger than a record.
Oh, yeah, the laser discs.
Yeah, the laser discs. Yeah. And, like, you had to pay a $500 deposit. You get the machine and two movies.
What? So, Mike, when you say get your father's credit card, do you mean get your father's credit card?
You'd have to get one of the parents to, like, go with you to, you know, give it these and pray.
But was it one of these, like, you open the purse and go,
yo? No.
The way in the car with the cigarette, the window cracked down, it's like, go.
Did you have to like stand inside of on top of somebody else's shoulders with a big oversized overcoat?
And a night download on your phone.
I would like to rent this copy of Buckaroo Banzai on Laserdisc, please.
Yes, I am 43 years old. Why do you ask?
Actually, I think one of my uncle had a Laserdisc for like exactly 2 weeks. And I do remember these big thing with the sleeve, and you pushed it in, and the disc would eject out. And then, of course,
we should talk about that failed technology. Stuff that really went nowhere, like laser discs.
Well, let's see, laser discs, mini disc, which I have a whole bunch in the back here.
I've got a deck and three portable players for mini discs still.
I mean, the beta format of...
Which they only stopped making last year.
Last year.
Oh, that's crazy.
What's the one that,
I have an Apple Newton.
Beat out by the Blu-ray again.
HD DVD?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, something like that.
You can thank PlayStation for that, though.
Yes, PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what's the other format here? The 3.5-inch floppy disk.
How about BlackBerry?
BlackBerry.
There you go. The inventor of the smartphone right there.
You got the passport there, Dan? What you got there?
Yep, that's a passport.
My work device is unfortunately a passport. I hate the damn thing.
Yeah, no. why would you do anything but hate it?
You know what? The only advantage I have with the work BlackBerry is that because of the security rules and all that stuff, people who have the work iPhones, they hate it because the messages, you got to go through the BlackBerry Enterprise, and the messages don't sync up in time, you see the notification, they get a new email, and you just, when you unlock your phone, your iPhone, you sit and wait forever. Well, I just unlock my BlackBerry. It's like, oh, here's the email, blah, 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 blah. However, nobody's on my BBM anymore.
No. So I miss it. And then anything else, literally anything else you want to do on the goddamn phone works wonky.
Yes.
Jim, I'll BBM you.
No, don't. No, it's my work phone. I don't want you on it.
Ouch.
Well, no offense, but I haven't even used the thing for a voice call because nobody was calling me on it.
Dan, you must be on your BlackBerry right now because you're lagging like hell.
Oh, snap! Oh,
that's a thing right there.
Are we going to go into a phone OS war? Is it really going to come down to that?
I'll take up my flip phone, beat you.
Mike's digging out his Motorola StarTAC.
I am OS agnostic because I have an iOS, an Android, a BlackBerry, and a Windows phone all in the same like area right now in front of me.
So. It's true. I've seen Dan's Windows phone, his Lumina. Nice phone, though. Takes nice pictures.
41 megapixels.
I don't know. It's not a lot of pixels. Let's move on to the next one, next topic then. We got two more here. So the next one is, if you're a regular peruser of TMZ like I am, you probably saw somebody found a knife on O.J. Simpson's property. And just to recollect, the trial of O.J. Simpson with the Nicole Brown system, they never did find the murder weapon. Right, so now everybody's all in a panic to test this knife. Of course, they can't charge him again because it's double jeopardy. But the interesting thing here, boys, is that it was a retired cop that was holding onto the knife for like years, wanted to mount it on the wall, and the only reason why he got caught because he asked another cop for the case number so that he could get it engraved and put it on there for the blood, you know, the bloody knife and the O.J. Simpson case number, which is insane to think of.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Wow.
But how crazy would that be, though? You know, after all these years, it would be like that knife would be the knife or the murder weapon. That'd be crazy.
I don't think you'd ditch it on your own property, though. If no, really.
Now, they tore down the property, right? This is when they tore down the house and stuff a number of years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, quite amazing. I mean, I still remember back, what was it,
94?
94, yeah. 96, I think. I think it's going to be 20 years. Wow, I still can remember watching a lot of this case, you know, going on. Somebody tweeted today. I saw a tweet today that if this starts another trial with OJ, it's going to break the internet. You know, clearly, because back in the day when there was no social media and people were glued to the tube watching this, man, can you imagine today?
Oh. It'd be insane. They would have to, as I think we saw the same tweet, they would have to rethink the internet infrastructure
because
it was just going to blow up. It would be crazy. Absolutely crazy. Dan, were you a big OJ fan back in the day or in terms of watching the trial?
I don't know if I'd say a fan. I wasn't like recording my own Betamax tapes.
You kept
apprised of what was going on. Yeah, for sure. This story is just. I don't know. Is this all coming to truth because of the new TV series that came out recently for O.J. Simpson as well? Like the timing is very peculiar for all of this and. What sort of level of crack or was this cop like smoking to hold something so insidious? Like,
retired cop
and a cop, you know, it's like crazy.
Yeah, retired cop in California. We probably had his stack of Betamax tapes. He was watching them with like Jimmy Hoffa's commercials as well and Naked Gun movies. I mean,
what else? What else the fuck is he holding? this is incredible. Does he have like gray aliens in his backyard too, and he's like hiding them at the same time?
Mike, what do you think up there? Were you a big Naked Gun movie fan or what?
Oh yeah.
You know, I had a pretty good joke with the Avis commercials and Betamax, and Dan just trampled all over it.
No, sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
No, it's okay. You can watch on, listen to it on the replay.
The moment has passed.
I know. I just want to say, though, it was pretty good, though. I was tying in all the Betamax. Never mind.
Just missed the moment.
Well, you guys better catch this moment in Newfoundland. This is going bye-bye.
By the way, you wanted your Twitter hashtag for that one? Hashtag keep your hands off my pickles. There you go. Perfect.
I got half a jar in the fridge.
Yeah. All right, this is Mike's story. Mike, tell us, what's the deal here? People who don't know, what are we looking at for those who don't know what that is?
It's a jar of mustard pickles, and pretty much they're not a big seller in Canada. In Atlantic Canada more so. In Newfoundland, they're very popular. Smucker's is the parent company of Habitant, Zest, and Bix in the pickle department. They got a pile of other companies. They announced that they're no longer going to produce the Habitant and Zest mustard pickles. So you can't get those at the supermarket today. That broke this morning. That was actually one of the top news stories in the province on the news.
Wow.
It kind of broke like the time that that Mason company changed the size of jars that they were going to put in stores, and everybody lost their shit.
But it's good when you live in a place that the biggest news story is, you know, pickles.
Yeah, no kidding.
So is there going to be like a bootleg pickle you can get now or something?
Well, actually, Smucker's has Bix is another brand. They have just sweetened pickles now. They don't have a mustard pickle in that version. But they're going to put one out. But in the meantime, there's several local companies that do small orders of pickles and stuff. So they're going to try and recreate the recipe. And I would say they'll win the battle.
I can't say that I remember having pickles. Jocelyn, you were telling us earlier that this wasn't your thing, wasn't your bag until you came to Nova Scotia.
Yeah, well, it's not that it wasn't my bag. It's just that in growing up in Quebec, you couldn't find mustard pickles with a search warrant. But then when I moved to Nova Scotia, you know, in the early 2000s, I discovered them, and I actually like them. I think they're really, really tasty. And interestingly, Habitant is a brand that started in Quebec and was probably bought a couple times until Smucker's got them, but never heard of mustard pickles until I moved to Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Grease Stain on the live chat saying he used to stock the odd jar of mustard pickles back home. No idea why anyone cares. Most of the time, he was pulling the jars off the shelf and replacing them. Yeah. Dan, what were you a mustard pickles fan in growing up in Ontario or what?
God, no. I mean, you see it there. Wipe the dust off it, trying, what the hell incarnation of Satan do they put into a jar? And then he grabbed the real stuff, which of course is Bix dill with extra garlic, the real pickle. And that's what I have, and I love it to bits.
Yeah, it's a local thing. It's really big here and nowhere else, so that's why they're stopping production. Yeah. I mean, I guess everywhere else they're dusting them off. They're probably going on eBay for a fortune now.
Oh my god. Especially if you have a pickle in there that's shaped like Jesus.
Is eBay in Newfoundland?
It's like E-Boy. It's E-Boy.
E-Boy.
It's E-Boy.
Hey, actually, you know what? We'll do a quick round of plus ones. This is where we're going to do something that we want to recommend to the listeners or viewers, something to check out, podcast, website, article, app, whatever you want to do. A little programming note, folks, we might have a hangout on the week of Friday the 18th of March. We may not have one, but we'll definitely have one next week. If not, the 18th, we'll move on to the next one here. Grease Stain on the live chat saying here, I'm not saying they're bad, just something you could do better at home with the pickles. But Jocelyn, last time we got together there, we went to a local beer bar and we had some pickled veggies.
Yes, indeed.
On their smorgasbord, which was fantastic. Oh. So I'm sold on getting back, not necessarily to pickles, but pickled veggies. I'm starting to get back into it, like carrots. I was a big fan of that. That was.
I think it's a trend right now. Or pickled or soured veggies of different types. Big trend right now. Love it. It's great.
Definitely.
All right, so let's do a quick round of plus ones. Dan, you got anything you want to recommend to
There's this phone manufacturer by the name of BlackBerry. I don't know if you've heard about them.
No. I'm going to go over more podcasts that I've been enjoying lately. Another one I picked up, I think I've talked a couple times in the past about one that I really like, which is called My Brother and Me, with the McElroy brothers. And one of the brothers, Griffin McElroy, he is a game reviewer for a company called Polygon, and he started up a new comedy podcast called Cool Games, Inc. And what they do is that they try and make, off the top of their head, a ridiculous video game and try and pitch it, and it is hilarious. Cool. So if you are into video games and comedy, this is one that I'd look for, Cool Games, Inc.
All right. And Mike, what do you got for a plus one for us?
I've been watching a channel on YouTube, Bushcraft Steffi. She's from Germany. Survival Lily is one of her friends. She's really popular. She has really good videos, and her last video was just take a friend or somebody you know out in nature for the day, somebody who you think might need a break or whatever, and it was just a really cool video. I really like her channel.
All right, so Bushcraft Steffi.
Yeah.
All right. So, perfect. All right, so that's that. And Jocelyn, what you got for a plus one?
Well, I'll talk to you about a podcast. It's actually my favorite podcast. I subscribe to a number of podcasts, but this one's my favorite. It's called Under the Influence with Terry O'Reilly. He's a longtime marketer. He's done ads of different sorts, whether it's TV or radio or print ads, and he talks about marketing and in all its different incarnations, but specifically targeted at mass market advertising that we're all familiar with. So he talks about different topics, and he talks about how it influenced influenced the world and our behavior as consumers. I think it's one of the really enjoyable podcasts that you can listen to.
All right, awesome.
Yeah.
And my plus one is another audio. It's not a podcast. It's just an audio feed. It is the U.S. Supreme Court oral arguments. And yeah. I know. You're thinking, oh fuck, Jim. You know, whatever.
However, too much time in your hands.
Well, you know what? To be quite honest with you, every Friday there's a whole bunch of recordings here that they get released, and there's a few. I forget. I didn't listen to this week's batch, but basically you can listen to some of the Supreme Court cases. Now, the really interesting ones. There was one. I can't remember which one it was here, but one of them was. They were having oral arguments on, there was a case in, I believe, Texas, or was it Florida? I can't remember which state. But they had the death penalty, and they were going to execute this person, but the person had mental deficiencies. So the Supreme Court case was trying to stay the execution because he wasn't mentally, it wasn't mentally there. So I think he ended up getting executed anyway, but... that's one of the cases that they argued. The one this week was with the Texas law about abortion clinics and how the female justices really got on the lawyers to, try to get them to say, you know, what really is going on with these this law to prevent. This is the law where doctors have to be admitting privileges at hospitals, otherwise they can't do abortions and stuff in Texas. So anyway, really, really interesting. Not all of them are fantastic, but you know, depending on a court case, you know, when you listen to it, it's pretty interesting. You know, it's stuff that shapes what's going on down there in the States. So.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Can I add one more OnePlus?
Sure.
Process, and I don't know if I'm interested in this, but I think I need to share in case people are interested in this. Have you been, you know, trying to apply butter to your toast like a sucker, the old-fashioned way?
Yeah, with a knife.
Yeah. No more. There's the bean. Butter spray. Your butter spray. So instead of like a sucker taking a knife to your pad of butter, you can inject it to the special tube, your pad of butter. It superheats it quickly and sprays it to whatever substance you need it. But wait, there's more. Things are about to get butter. What can this do?
Oh my God.
Cool spray to the touch. Boy. It uses any real butter, so you don't have DRM butter that you have to deal with. It has a smart on-off accelerometer, so that way you're not wasting energy. It's ready to spray in seconds. I mean, what more do you want? And all this for the low, low price of $129 American. So, the Beam butter sprayer.
Yet another answer to a question nobody was asking.
I saw the same thing tonight when I was looking for mustard pickles.
Oh, are you looking for a butter pickle sprayer?
No. It was in a little can, and it was called Pam.
Pam, but you need artisanal Pam. This is artisanal Pam.
Artisanal Pam. That line wins the night. Artisanal Pam.
Oh, yeah. So if you got $129 American to burn, the Beam butter sprayer is for you.
Which is like, what, 867 Canadian or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, close.
Yeah. excellent. All right. So I think with that, boys, we're going to shut things down for another hangout. I know we only keep this for an hour for the podcast. But I really do thank the panelists for jumping in tonight. Thanks for the people who've been commenting, GC Storm and Grease Stain and Stu. Good to have you watching in there. So we'll do this again next Friday. The Friday after that, we'll see. But otherwise, we'll see you guys next time. Good meeting, fellas.
Good meeting.
And cheers.
My beer's empty.
Bye. Salut.